Good afternoon. Welcome to our Bible study. We're going to be in the book of Joshua, chapter 23 and 24, the last two chapters of our favorite book. Until Judges next time. Make sure I'm not screaming here. So I'm going to be on vacation next Thursday, next week. Yeah, believe that. First Baptist gave me the week off. So no Bible study next week. We'll pick up in Judges the week after. Yeah, so this actually worked out good. We're going to finish up with Joshua. So I'll let you guys get there, chapter 23, and we'll open in prayer. Joshua, chapter 23. This is a short chapter. I'm just going to read right once we get going here. I'll probably read these 16 and talk about it. All right, let's open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather together in your name this afternoon, Lord, to go through these two chapters, the last two chapters of the book of Joshua, we ask you, Lord, that you'd open our hearts and our minds to your word, Lord, that you'd speak to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, chapter 23, Joshua's farewell address. This is a short chapter. I'm just going to read it right to the end. It says, verse 1, now it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all the enemies round about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads of heads, for the judges, and for their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in years. Verse 3, you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. Verse 4, see, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. So you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. Verse 6, therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, and lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. Verse 8, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. Verse 11, therefore take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God, or else if indeed you do not go back, if you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you and make marriages with them, and you go in them and they go in you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. But they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Verse 14, behold, this day I am going the way of the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you, not one word of them has failed. Verse 15, Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land, which the Lord your God has given you. Verse 16, when you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. So let's stop there. Yep. So Joshua addressed the people. He said in his old age, Joshua had grown old, and he called Israel to himself to address them. This is what he did. This is kind of a farewell speech he's telling them, right? Joshua reminded them about all that the Lord had done for them. He doesn't want them to forget. Do not forget what the Lord has done for you, right? That God had driven out all the enemies, gave them the promised land. God promised to continue to fight for them until all the foreigners inhabited were driven out. All these pagan nations were driven out. God said, I will be with you as long as they were obedient, right? Joshua reminded the people not to get involved in idolatry, right, that once covered this land. This land was full of idolatry. These wicked nations, they did a lot of idolatry. He's saying, do not get involved in idolatry, right? Israel was told not to also intermarry, as we just read, with these other nations, right? They were not to intermarry with these other nations. It says if Israel disobeyed God's instructions, God would not help them. So basically, right, God is telling them, if you obey me, I'm with you. You trust me and have faith, it's all good. But if you forsake me, I'll forsake you. Right? God would not help them. Now, some of God's promises, as we read, were conditional on Israel's obedience. Sometimes when you're reading through the scriptures, you'll see where God's promise, God will promise in his word, a promise to you and I, right? And then you'll see the next verse says, if. That makes it a conditional verse. In other words, I will do this if you do this. Okay? Makes it a conditional verse, right? If you obey, I'll be with you. Obedience leads to blessing, right? So God has always been faithful to Israel. Now Israel needed to remain faithful to him in the land. So let's go ahead. We'll go right into our final chapter, chapter 24. This is a little longer chapter. Let's see. So this is the covenant at Shechem. Okay? I'm going to read down to verse 13, and then we'll talk about it. So chapter 24, the covenant of Shechem, it says, then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Verse 2, and Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the Jordan in old times, and they served other gods. Verse 3, then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, promised land, and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. Verse 4, to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains to Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Verse 5, also I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt, according to what I did among them. Afterward I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. So they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them and covered them. and your eyes saw what I did to Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time, right? The 40 years wandering in the wilderness, right? Just like us before we came to Christ, we were wandering in the wilderness. Verse 8, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you. But I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. Verse 10, but I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore, he continued to bless you. We remember reading about that. So I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you. Also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But look, here you go. But I delivered them into your hand. Verse 12. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you. Also the two king of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow, right? I have given you the land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and the olive groves, which you did not plant. Let's stop here. Let them know that that was all a blessing from the Lord, right? Let them know, you didn't do this. You didn't build this. You didn't. I gave you this, right? So Joshua recounts Israel's history. That's what he was doing here, from Terah to Canaan. He's giving a little history, right? Joshua called all the tribes together again, just like we just read in chapter 23, to Shechem, to speak to them before his death. He knows he's dying. He says he's going to go the way of the earth. And he began recounting the nation's history to them. He wanted to go through the history from where they were to where they came, where they were at. All right, he told them about Abraham's father, Terah, who lived in the Far East, and how God selected Abraham, brought him into Canaan, and gave him many offsprings through the son of Isaac. God reminded them of Isaac's grandson, Jacob, and how his family ended up in Egypt. And then Joshua started telling the Israelites about the events that had happened in his lifetime. He's recounting all these things. Remember this? He's bringing all this up. Remember this? Remember God was with us? Remember we went through this? God was with us. Remember God was giving us victory? God was with us. Right? How God used Moses and Aaron and the 10 plagues to free Jacob's descendants, right, from Egypt. The Israelites from Egyptian slavery. God, he even recounted when God led them through the Red Sea and he destroyed all the Egyptian armies for them. How they wandered. He even brought up, he wanted to remember, hey, remember we wandered, our family, the first generation wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. He wants them to remember. Remember that. I want you to remember that, right? That first generation, they weren't allowed to come into the promised land due to their lack of faith. Right? God had them wander. They trusted more in themselves than in God. So he had them wander and die in the wilderness. And he brought in the second generation, except for Caleb and Joshua. We know they were the two faithful spies. They got to go in. He also brought up how they defeated the kings on the east of the Jordan River, and they crossed the river to conquer Jericho. We went through all of that. And then Joshua's historical retelling ended with the people's conquest of the promised land and with a confirmation that God has kept all his promises. You want them to know God has kept every single promise that he has given us. You want them to know. Pretty neat. So let's go ahead. We'll pick up here in verse 14. 1 minute. Well, verse 14 says, now, therefore, fear the Lord, right? Beginning of wisdom, right? Right there, underline that one. Same with here. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. verse 15. And if it seems evil, I like this. This is good. Look at verse 15. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. So stop there. You know what Joshua is saying? Joshua is saying this. He says, hey, if you're going to serve God, serve God. If you want to serve the devil, serve him. This is what he's saying. But he's saying this, pick one and serve him. This is what he's telling us right in this verse. But then Joshua, look what Joshua tells him right after. He says, but as for me, in my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a great verse right there, right? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, right? But he's telling him the verse before that. He said, hey, you're going to serve God, you're going to be all in with God. If you don't want to be all in with God, then serve the devil and be all in with him. Pretty neat. Verse 16, so the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Excuse me. Who did those great signs, he says, in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through we passed. Verse 18. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Verse 19, but Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is holy. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forget your transgressions nor your sins. Listen, here's a conditional verse, verse 20. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. We'll stop there for 1 second. That's a conditional verse. God's saying, I'm going to do this to you if you forsake me, right? Or I will bless you. You be obedient. I'm with you. If not, I will forsake you. Yeah, so we'll continue here. In verse 21, it says that, and the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves. Ouch. Not good. That you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. You see what Joshua's doing, right? He's putting this on them. He's saying, okay, you're your own witness. It's easy to say one thing and to do another, right? It's easy to talk it, but are they going to walk it? This is what he's saying. You're a witness against yourself. You said you're going to serve the Lord. You're a witness against yourself. We'll see, right? We'll see whether you're giving lip service or not, or you're really going to serve the Lord, right? Joshua doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe him. Let's continue reading. Verse 23. Now, therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. Verse 28. So Joshua let the people depart each to his own inheritance. So let's just stop here for a minute. So Joshua has doubt that they're really going to serve the Lord, which we're going to find out when we pick up in the book of Judges. that all they did was rebel and sin and cry out to the Lord. God deliver a judge, raise up a judge to deliver them. And this goes on for about 450 years. The book of Judges is a span of about 450 years. And that's them rebelling. God gives them up into these other nations to rule over them. They cry out after so many years. God delivers them. And then once that judge dies, they do it again. That's what we're going to read about when we get in the book of Judges. It's like Joshua knows this. He goes, I just know you guys. There's no way you're going to be all in with the Lord your whole life. I just know it. He says, and you're going to be a witness against yourself. And God sees everything. Right? So after finishing his history of Israel, Joshua called on for them to be faithful to the Lord as the nation grew and settled in this land. And he told them, put away all those false gods, right? Right? Joshua could not make the people serve the Lord. This was a decision that they needed to make on their own, right? It's like us. We can't make someone be a Christian in our family or come to church or read their Bibles or pray. We can say, hey, you know, why don't you come to church, you know? Or why don't you come on in and read your Bible? Here's a Bible. I bought you a Bible. We can't make them, right? They've got to do it. It's got to be on their heart to do it. So this is what Joshua's doing. Yeah. And the people, but if you notice, the people responded, like most people do, and they said, oh, yeah, we're going to serve the Lord. Yeah, we're all in, Joshua. We're all in. Right? And Joshua questioned whether they would follow through with the promise because of the past, right? That had not been consistent. They were just not consistent. He knew it. Joshua, he was a very faithful servant. He walked with the Lord all his days. But he knows, he feels these guys, I just know you guys, you're gonna fall away, which they did. Yeah, and Joshua even set up a stone, it says, right near the tabernacle as a memorial of the people's vows. Joshua also told them the stone had heard their commitment and would stand as a witness against them if they broke their word. But see what Joshua is doing here before we end this chapter. You see what Joshua is doing. Joshua knows he's dying, right? He's old, so he's good. He knows, right? He's getting old. He says, I'm going the way of the earth. You know, he dies at 110 years old. And he's just pressing them hard. Follow the Lord. Remember all those things he did. When I die, I'm your only leader. I'm the leader right now. God will raise up somebody else, but you're going to have to stay with the Lord. All right, so we'll go ahead and hear the last few verses of this chapter. The death of Joshua and Eleazar. Verse 29 says, now it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord. That's what you want to be known for right there, right? The servant of the Lord, right? Died being 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Serah, which is in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gaash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Look at this. This is pretty neat, right? Verse 32. The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of Egypt, right, a long time ago, they buried him at Shechem. There's a good Bible trivia question, right? And the plot ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and which had become an inheritance of the children of Joseph. Verse 33. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died. They buried him in the hill, belonging to Phinehas, his son, which was given to him in the mountains of Ephraim. And that ends this chapter. But so Joshua, as we just read, he died at 110. Now, Joshua, when they went into the land to fight, that lasted about 7.5 years, all those battles. And he was about 93 years old when those battles ended. So from those battles ending at 93, there's 17 years from those battles until now that they were just all in the land. So it was kind of like Josh went into retirement for 17 years because the battles were over. But he had told them, you're going to have to go in and get rid of the rest of these inhabitants in this land, the enemies. They're all among us still. Yeah. So the book of Joshua is a span of about 25 years. Yeah. About 25 years. First seven years, 7.5 years, they're battling. And then the last 17 years of just kind of settling in the land. Right, Joshua, he died in Ephraim. That was the area that he wanted. When they spied out him and Caleb, they spied out the land. He wanted Ephraim, and Caleb wanted Hebron. Right? And so God was faithful, and Moses said, you can have this land. Because they said, hey, when we come in here and conquer this land, I want this over here. I want Hebron, Caleb said. And Joshua said, yeah, well, I'm taking Ephraim. So they did, and that's where they buried him. He was in that land till he died. And then look at this, pretty neat, huh? Joseph's bones were buried in Shechem, in the land that Jacob purchased from Hamor, which that goes all the way back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 33, Genesis chapter 50. Some of it's in Exodus 13, all about that story with Joseph. And then it also says that Eleazar, the high priest of Israel that was with Joshua, he died and was buried in Gibeah, which is Ephraim as well. And the Israelites served God faithfully all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua until they come into until we come into the book of Judges. So this ends the book of Joshua. So let's go ahead. We'll close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us this afternoon, your word, and the importance of obedience, of us obeying you, Lord, and serving you with our whole heart. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.